All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Wednesday, December 31st of 2025. It'll be our last show of the year. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew. I'm one of the coaches over here at Saber Sim. This is a show where we go over how to use the Saber Sim app, answer any and all DFS related questions, get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern, so you can tune in any one of those days to get your questions answered. This will be the last show of the week here. Then we will be picking it back up next Monday. But in the meantime, a lot of sport action happening today. We already have NBA underway with a three-game slate, NHL underway with a three-game slate, five-game college football slate started earlier this morning. We have a six-game NHL main slate later this evening, and then a five-game NBA slate later this evening as well. So a ton of action. Good luck to all of you playing some slates today. Now, as far as the show goes, did have some questions come in prior to the show. Got those queued up here. We got SaberSim pulled up, so why don't we jump in and start answering some questions? All right. First one today, I can't decide if it's best to use Portfolio Plus or Set Uniques. Definitely kind of understand, you know, where the uncertainty comes from. I think for a long time, us included, you know, uniques were the only way to really guarantee kind of diversification across your lineups, right? Some places you set uniques before the build. We started using uniques after the build for a very long time. And then all of a sudden we come out with this new kind of portfolio diversifier, right? So what the portfolio diversifier does different, right? Is, well, uniques, it's probably better to start here. Uniques, what it does is it looks at your lineups and then it says, hey, lineup one and lineup two must have X players different from one another. Right. It's just very brute force. Like, no, these two lineups cannot be this similar. Right. No matter what. Portfolio is a lot kind of smarter. It uses more math and calculations, like the ROIs, like the payout distributions, the range of outcomes of a lineup of all your lineups in your contest sim. And then figure out, hey, which two lineups are best played together? Which two lineups complement each other the best? Which lineups reduce your swings over time? And it's using all that information from that we gather from the contest sims and deciding which lineups to play. So in our backtesting, Portfolio Plus graded out much better than Uniques did long-term. So that's why we recommend using it. We think it is a better option, and currently we think it is the best option available, frankly. So those are my thoughts on portfolio and uniques. If you're looking for more information on the portfolio diversifier, just trying to kind of like learn more about it, go over to our SaberSim tutorial section. Check out this using the portfolio diversifier tutorial. We'll give you some more information on the portfolio functionality and how it works. All right, going back to SaberSim. Next question. When uploading custom projections that include a custom column, and this column is used for build rules on the original build, will the custom column and rules be copied to LateSwap if created by copying the build settings and not default? I believe I saw the rules being copied, but didn't see the column, so I was not sure if LateSwap was doing what I expected. Okay, good question. So my initial impression is that, yes, it would do that. However, the fact that you said you didn't see the data being copied makes me a little bit hesitant to say so, to say yes, right? So what I think should happen is that if, so what we're talking about here is if you go to upload, I believe this is on, if you're on Ultimate, you have this option, add a custom column. This could be anything you want. It could be some ranking system for players. It could be additional detailed statistics that maybe we don't have. Maybe an easy example would be that you care about, in basketball, they call it PRA. It's like a betting line. It's points plus rebounds plus assists, right? Maybe you don't like seeing the data split out, right? We see points, we see assists, we see offensive and defensive rebounds, right? You're like, you know what? I don't really like all this data being split out. I just want to kind of have one number, right? And I'm going to use that one number overall in some way, shape, or form. So you combine it, and then maybe you create a custom column with that information, right? Maybe we can just like do a demo. That doesn't sound particularly hard to do. You know what? Maybe we'll just do rebounds. We'll do something simpler. So it looks like we have offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds. You know what? I just want to know total rebounds, right? Total rebounds is all I'm really looking for. All right. So I download the table. I'm going to go over to the right. I'm going to create a column next to offensive rebounds. I'm going to call it total rebound. And then I'm just going to do equals this one plus this one. All right. Take this. I'm just going to drag it down. All right, now I've calculated total rebounds for all players. So I'm going to save that. And then I'm going to go to upload. I'm going to go to CSV. NBA. All right, now I'm going to go and find my total rebound column. All right, and I'm going to put add custom column, and then it will just name it whatever the name of the column is. I can change this if I want, but I'm fine with total rebounds here. This is fine. All right, so I save this information, right? This is me creating a custom column. It should load all the way on the right, which I see here. All right, this looks about correct mathematically here. So now, right, okay, let's say I use a rule. And I use something like, okay, use at least one. And then I'll say whose total rebounds, right? My custom column is greater than, I don't know, what is like the total here? Greater than six, right? I love rebounds. I'm a big rebound guy, right? Total rebound rule. All right. So then what it's going to do is it's going to basically group all the players above six rebounds and then say, hey, we have to use at least one of these players in our lineups, right? Now for late swap, what I would expect, so your rule is definitely going to carry over, right? Late swap should carry over anything that's editable here, right? It carries over minimax exposures. It carries over projection adjustments. I'm pretty sure it carries over ownership. But like, notice all these columns are the ones where you can change values. A custom column is the same, right? You can change the values here. I guess maybe we can test this if we clone it, right? So let's try cloning this. Cloning is effectively the same. Cloning is essentially what late swap does. When you carry over the settings, you're saying, hey, I want to clone this build. All right. So it did not carry it over. All right. So I think there's something to that. Custom columns do not transfer when you clone a build. Pre-slate, but more importantly, in elite swap. So what would happen here is I think your rule would just be ignored because the data is for the rule is basically not there. So I think what would happen, or I think what you would need to do is you would need to re-upload the data in the late swap workspace. So I'm going to re-upload it in. I'm calling this late swap, but it's my cloned build. Add, go some columns, save. So you need to re-upload it here, which it does re-upload. And then what I would probably do, I would probably redo the rule, to be honest. I just to be careful, I would go back to my rule. I would at least make sure it's still like selected, and then I would resave it. So then I just make sure, hey, that custom data is chosen. I resave the rule because if it's trying to find it, it doesn't. Then you add the column. You might need to get it to relook. Like, hey, I need to look again for the data. So by resaving it, you cause it to like think and re-find the data that it's looking for and now that it's present. So I think that's what you need to do for now. I think you're going to have to re-upload in your late swap. I think you are going to have to resave your rule. However, I do think this should come when you clone or do late swap. So I sent in that report of problem to the team so they can actually look at that. So thank you for bringing that to our attention. Things like that are always super helpful. And we're going to keep it rolling here. All right. So there's a second question as part of this one. Says, what is the difference of saving a rule between auto and manual? This goes with a topic covered in support earlier today that was already a good standalone kind of office hours question. So this auto versus manual rule is going to go with this. I'm going to come back to this late swap question that I'm skipping here. So this other question said, if I create this rule, a center rule, basically they wrote a rule that says use no more than one center per team. And it says, how does this work since Naz Reid is power forward / center eligible? Would it block Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert in this example since both are center eligible? So I think we can go to the early slate to actually look at this specifically. Okay. So we go to late swap. And I actually did this here. We're going to start from scratch. All right. So we go to Minnesota. So what we're talking about is the fact that Gobert here is center eligible, and then Naz Reid has power forward and center eligibility, right? The user is writing a rule that says use no more than one team center. They're writing a rule like this. I'm going to get myself out of the way here. They're writing a rule like this. What they want to know is like, hey, well, what they said was, hey, I'm actually okay playing Naz in power forward and Gobert in center. But I don't want to, but that's the only thing I'm okay with, right? I basically don't want two centers from one team taking up my center and my utility slot. So they were wondering how it would work. Well, you can do this with a manual rule, which goes back to the first question asked here, right? So there's two ways to save a rule. Save as auto, save as manual. Auto, you click save. It creates the rule for every team in this example because we did each team center less than or equal to one. And that's it. The rule just kind of goes away. When you save as manual, you get to see more details about the rule. Okay. So when you go here, you go save as auto. Well, let's switch to manual. Okay. We go switch to manual. It says save 6 manual rules. So it's basically telling you, hey, I am creating a rule for each team. Since there are 6 teams, we're going to get 6 rules. That's like the first difference between auto and manual. All right, click save. All right, so now this, it looks different already from the auto rule. So like this one down here, this is an auto rule. Use each team less than or equal to 4 players. This little side arrow is the difference. When we click this, we get a drop down. Well, remember we had 6 rules. It's actually going to show you all 6 rules. It's going to say, hey, we can see all 6 rules for each team. Not only that, we can click into the rule to see the exact details. So if I want to see what's happening with Minnesota, okay, I can click in here. And then there is basically a rule that says use no more than 1 player between Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert. It's saying that you can only use 1 of them. So this is telling me, hey, it's basically saying don't use 2 players who are center eligible. Even though Naz Reid is power forward eligible, lineups with him and Gobert are going to be excluded. So what you could do, which is this is the advice I gave the user, you could spot check these, right? Let the manual rule get you this far. Come in here and then basically delete players who are power forward eligible. Okay, I delete Gooey and Asa. Now I'm only left with Porzingis and Okongwu, who are only center eligible, right? Save. And then that saves it for Atlanta. I come in. It looks like Huff and Potter both have power forward eligibility, so I delete those guys, right? And then you kind of come through here, and then you go through that process of manually deleting the power forwards. That way they can be played, right? So like in this case, I delete Reed. Well, there's one thing, right? I delete him. Now they can be played together. The only problem is that now Reed is going to be able to go into the utility. So you might need to go one more step here of going to the utility, filtering for Minnesota, and then just removing him, saying, hey, I do not want to play Reed in the utility. So it gets a little weird. Because then now you're ruling him out from utility, even if Gobert isn't in the lineup. I don't know if there's a perfect way to do this. It kind of doesn't seem like it. It seems like there's kind of always a, but what if this or like, what if that type of thing. But these are all your options the way it is currently designed. So I hope at least walking through this kind of exemplifies all the different options that you have and helps you to figure out which ones are going to be the best. But that is rules, manual versus auto, and then kind of an example on using and looking at the various options. All right, we skipped a question here. If you do the late swap option and hit build, if your original lineups were best, will they stay the same? Or will it automatically build new? I'm primarily talking NHL and NBA. Good question. So the builder, the way late swap works is we lock in the players who have started, right? So their positions cannot be changed. So when we get into late swap, we're saying, hey, we have 3 positions that are effectively locked. And we've used this much salary. So now we have these other positions available and we have this much salary remaining. We go and we do a normal build process of sampling the games that haven't started. So we are going to run the sims for only the games that haven't started. We're going to grab some sims. And then we're going to say, okay, well, based on these sims and the eligible positions left, the remaining salary, which players from these sims are the best players to put in this lineup? If the original players are still the best, then Saber Sim will give you that lineup back. So it's not going to just give you a new lineup for the sake of giving you a new lineup. It is going to say, hey, you know, it's basically starting from scratch and then it's building the best lineup. And if your guys before were still the best, it will just give you that lineup back. Like, hey, these guys are still the best players to have in this lineup. So late swap does not force you to change. It just reruns the sims and then it just returns whatever it returns, new or the same. But very good question. Works the same across all sports, both NHL and NBA, as noted here. All right, next question. I tried to late swap before the 130 game started and got a bunch of errors when I uploaded the file to DraftKings. Could you give an example of how to late swap so I can see where I screwed up? Okay, so one note with this, and we'll walk through late swap. So if you upload your late swap file and it gives you errors, what you need to do to fix this is somewhere along the line, I don't know where, SaberSim and DraftKings got out of sync with what your lineups are. So the way like the importing exporting works is, say I was playing this slate. Okay, I go to the green upload icon. I click download template file. When I'm doing that, I'm asking DraftKings, SaberSim really is asking DraftKings, hey, what are these users' entries? So then you click it, it downloads a file. You drag and drop this file. It's like, hey, here are the entries that this user has. SaberSim goes, great. Now I know what contest you're playing. I know how many entries you have. If there are already lineups, like if this is late swap, it's also going to tell you what your lineups are. Hey, these are the lineups that I see. DraftKings is saying, hey, these are the lineups I have for this user. Somewhere, SaberSim and DraftKings got out of sync. So what we need to do is we need to get them back on the same page. So what I would do here is if I upload and I have errors, come back to SaberSim, re-download your template file, getting a new one from DraftKings, and then importing it into SaberSim. That will get them back on the same page. And then from there, you open up a new swap build. So the old swap build that you had, say your swap one, is going to like go red and basically say like, hey, this swap build is like no longer eligible because we thought your lineups were one thing, but you just updated them. So it renders it inactive. So then when we are in late swap, when the slate is in progress, when a slate is in progress, I'm looking for it. Okay, this was recorded after. I'm going to go to a different one. I just want to show this. Okay, this is good. When a slate is in progress, you're going to see a green late swap button like this. That is like primarily what you're looking for to initiate your swap, right? And then you would open up a new swap build with the green icon. In the new SaberSim update, which we're going to go back to, you can also initiate a swap from this two-sided arrow icon up here in the top left. So that's the other thing that we need to be aware of. So let's say I want to late swap, right? Okay, for me, I'm going to click the two arrow icon. All right, when I do that, I'm going to get a pop-up like this. So there's two swap options. There's quick swap, and then there's late swap. Quick swap is the fastest way to get out players out of your lineups and get projected players into your lineups. If you are in a time crunch, I would first do a quick swap, upload it to the site, come back to SaberSim, and then try and do a full swap. We call it a full swap now. So the full swap is the second option. All right. So let's go. So you go over to full swap. This is what it looks like. This is that allows you to say which contests you want to swap, allows you to change any settings that you want. And then if there were things that you did in your previous build, such as set minimax exposures, maybe change player projections, set a rule, there's a number of things that you could do. You can quickly carry over all those things at once by changing this use settings slash exposures from you would change default to the name of your previous build, such as build one. If I did stuff in build one and I change this to build one, it will carry over everything from build one into my late swap. When I am ready here, I click this late swap button down on the bottom here that is in green, and then it will open up a swap build for me. And I'm going to try and get to the swap build. All right, so now I'm in a swap build, right? It should also carry over your groups if you use like the carryover settings option. If you don't do that, it is important. Well, there's two things here. If you use, say you use default, if you have a template starred, then it will auto create your groups for you in the late swap build. If you do not have a template starred, it will not create your groups and you won't be able to click build. In late swap, it is very important that you have groups. So, it is always good, in my opinion, to have a template starred. So that's one note there. All right. So we go through the swap. Now we're going to click build swaps at this point. It looks like Jordan's doing like a little back and forth. So at this point, we click build swap. So it doesn't look like he actually followed it all the way through. But at that point, you click build swaps. You let the lineups run. If you have Sims, you let the Sims run. You save your lineups. You download them from the upper left-hand corner. And then you upload them to DraftKings. So it's kind of like an end-to-end on late swapping in the current version of SaberSim. Let me know if there's any follow-up. All right. Next question, can you help me with the process for building lineups using Portfolio Plus for the Ohio versus Miami college football showdown tonight? Yeah, we could definitely go over to this slate here. No problem. All right, so we go over to college football, and I'm assuming Miami OSU. Okay, so why don't I go enter something so we have an entry file to work with so we can actually use Portfolio Plus. College football showdown, Miami OSU. And what do we want to do here? I'm going to enter a couple low dollar things, say a dime time. Quarter jukebox. And a first down. All right. So I've got my entries reserved for this slate. I'm going to come in and import my entry file. SaberSim's going to know, hey, we're playing three contests. We have one entry in each. Okay, great. So I go over to my build. So projections up, ownership is up. Don't really need to worry about anything else. I'm going to make two small adjustments. I've been making them on the my own column because the my own column doesn't impact the contest sims. Because for the contest sims, we use whatever field lineups are chosen in the contest tab. So changing these visually here doesn't impact the contest sims. All right. That's really the only change I'm going to make here. I don't want to change anything else. I'm just going to let SaberSim kind of handle the rest here. Now, one question I would need to answer is duplication important in college football showdowns, right? I don't know the answer to that. Offhand, I haven't played enough college football showdown to know that, but we can find the answer to that question, okay? So let's let this run. We'll let the Sims run first before we switch off the screen. All right. So I want to go back to a past college football showdown. And it looks like there was one yesterday. So we're going to go over to USC versus TCU. I'm going to go to the contest tab. And I'm just going to look at the flagship contest. All right. So I go to the flagship. I go over to users. So normally what I want to do is just look at people who are maxing, look at the highest sim ROIs. And then I want to get a sense for like, hey, is duplication happening and at how high of a rate, right? Here, duplication is happening, but these are all kind of single digit dupes. You know, I see 3, 8, 6, 5, 4, 2, right? Anywhere from like 2 to 8 here. What does this mean? Well, it means that duplication matters, but it is not as big as like, say, NFL showdown, where you see tens, 20s, hundreds of dupes, right? So this tells me we need to account for it a little bit, but we don't need to be super, super conscious about it. All right, great. We found an answer to this question. Cool. So we go back to the slate today. Now, I think there's like a hierarchy to accounting for duplication. I think that it probably the lowest level thing you could do probably starts with like some ownership. Second is probably salary. And then third is probably GeoMe. I think that's like the order. I'm going to call it of like strength or of like impactfulness or like magnitude is how I would go. So since I think duplication matters a little bit, but not a lot, I'm going to start with a lower level option. I'm going to start with a sum ownership filter here. Something super minor, but still going to help us overall. So I'm going to say show lineups with ownership less than X. And I don't know what this number is going to be. I'm just going to make up a number and we'll say 250. All right. So 250 didn't trash any lineups. So that means this number is too high. Okay, we drop it down, 200. Now this trashes 83 lineups. Well, when I do this, I kind of have like a general rule of thumb where I don't want to be super aggressive. I'm just trying to weed out some of the highest owned lineups that we probably want to avoid. For me, that falls somewhere within like 10 to 20%. This would mean that I want to trash between 50 and 100 lineups. Well, trashing 83 is right in the middle of that range, right? So this would be perfect for me. I would be happy with this. This is probably as much duplication accounting I would do on this slate. So now that I've done that and I've already run my sims, I would be ready to diversify. Okay, great. I'm going to click diversify here. And really at this point, I don't really have any opinions about the lineups. You could definitely come in here and spot check them and make adjustments if you see fit. For me, I'd be ready to rock and roll. I would click save. I would click download. And then I would be ready to go over to DK and upload these to my contests. So that is what I would be doing for the Miami OSU showdown today. All right. Keeping it rolling. Andrew, what does SaberSim data say on quality of lineup difference when you have 500 lineups versus 5,000 pool? Thanks. Good question. So quality of lineup difference, I think, is maybe the wrong way of looking at it, right? Because you got to think of the way we build lineups. So like we go back to NBA for today. So when we build lineups, right, we take some lineups, we take some game sims from each game on the slate. We play out those sims. We build the best lineup. The lineup goes into your pool, right? And then it isn't until the lineups are in the pool that they get graded. We, by randomly getting sims, we don't know which ones are the best. We are not building the best lineup and then the second best and then the third best, right? We are building all the lineups, putting them all in the pool, and then figuring out which lineups are the best, right? So it's not a problem of lineup quality because the lineup building is the same. I think the difference is that by having 10 times as many lineups, you just have a better chance of finding more lineups that are positive EV, right? Like on any slate, there's going to be tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of positive EV lineups. Well, having 500 versus 5,000 just gives you more opportunities to find those positive EV lineups. So it's almost like playing all unique lineups, say playing 100 lineups in 520 maxes versus playing 20 lineups in 520 maxes, right? You're going to have more shots on goal with 100 lineups. So it would kind of be the same. You would have more chances of finding those good lineups when you're building 10 times as many. So that's kind of the way I'd think about that. All right. Shane said, all contests in one group, fill method, what's random really doing? Okay, so let's go back to the OSU one for this. This will probably be our best place to demonstrate this. All right, so right now in this example, we used one group per contest. So I'm going to go back to templates. I'm going to click all contests in one group. So what all contests in one group does, it takes your contests, puts them all together in one group, and then it sets the lineups to the max number of entries across any contest. So if I had let's just say I have a 20 max, a 3 max, and a single entry. It will set the lineups to 20. In this example, it would be 20. We say, hey, we have 20 lineups across a single entry, a 3 max, and a 20 max. Now for the fill method, so the way this works is that the 20 max gets all 20. The single entry gets lineup 1. The 3 max gets lineups 1, 2, and 3 in that order, right? By the rank. It's going top down every single time. What random would do is it will, and I think there's a message here. No. Okay, random will randomize all of these lineups across all of the contests within the group. So what random will do is it will not use lineup 1 for the single entry, and it will not use lineup 1, 2, and 3 for the 3 max. It will still use all 20 for the 20 max because there's 20 lineups total. So it's going to use all the lineups for the 20 max. The additional 4 lineups that need to get chosen could be any of the 20. That's the point. Anytime there is less lineups needed than the number of lineups in your group, it will randomly choose which ones to use rather than start from the top down. So that is what random is doing here. All right, next question. After a late swap using one group per contest, can you sort the varying lineups in a 20 max or 150 max by ROI? I find myself scrolling through all of the lineups looking for the top ROI lineups. Yeah, you can do this at any point. So if you have one group per contest for any one group, you can change them to ROI sorting by switching the diversity from portfolio to uniques. if you want to switch them all, I think that's why we have this option, ROI sorting. It's basically a template. Somebody asked recently, like, hey, how do I switch all of my groups to use ROI? Well, you would make a custom template with the add new option. And I would click the, and it would look like this. It would say, create a group for each contest. Choose uniques one diversity. Choose contest sim target ROI. If you try to do this and you don't see contest sims, you have to run a contest sim before you set up the template. So run a build, run a contest sim, and then create the template. This will allow you, and then save this, right? And then this will allow you to quickly switch all of your groups to ROI. So you can do something like that. All right. Got a thanks in the chat. Yeah, you're welcome. Happy to walk through late swap there. No problem. And looking around here, looks like we are all caught up with questions in YouTube chat, Discord, knocked out a slate demo for this college football showdown. So appreciate you guys tuning in. This is our last show of the year. I will be back next Monday on the 5th for our next show. Follow up before we get out of here. I'm asking specifically about viewing the lineups already created by ROI. Okay. So I'm a little confused then, because let's say you're using one group per contest. You should be able to just open this up and then see the ROIs. If you're using portfolio, if you want to see more lineups, you could. Actually, I'm not sure about late swap. But if you want to see the lineups, you might want to use, what can you use? Okay, if they're not sorted by ROI, okay. Here, I have an idea. One sec. I'm going to go back to a late swap I did from yesterday, which we should be able to see this. All right. This is today, 30th. Almost pulled up. Almost there. Okay. Let's go to swap one. I'll get this up on the screen in a minute. I might need to rerun the sims. All right. I'm going to try something. This might not work because the slate is over, but it might get close. So this is where I'm at right now. I'll show you guys. I'm in my swap build from yesterday. I see a black screen. Where are we at? Here we go. All right. I'm in my swap build from yesterday. I'm rerunning the sims to see if we can get this to appear. All right. We got some details here. So Jazer said they are not sorted in the view by ROI. If you have 20 lineups swapped in a 20 max, you can see the lineups, but the order is not by ROI in the opposite of compact. Okay, so I think we're talking opposite of compact. All right, so let's say I go to this contest here, right? So we're going to start in compact. Okay, I think I'm getting closer to understanding what you're saying. So the ROIs in compact, you can easily sort by any of these, right? And also, just so you guys know, you can also sort this without changing the 30, right? It's like no matter what, it is this top section, the diversity, the rank by, that controls which 30 lineups you get. Sorting them any way you want in this table does not impact the 30. It will not change them. It just says, hey, we're going to rearrange the 30 lineups that we have here, just so you guys know. All right. So the opposite of compact would be, we call it expanded view. So we turn this off. So for me right now, they are in order. Now, potentially, maybe we're talking about if you look at your swap options. So I'm going to click this. This shows me like, hey, you have this many available swap options. These ROIs probably aren't, well, they look in order as far as like what you're seeing is ROI change. So if I choose this other swap down here, well, SaberSim thinks my ROI is going to go down 144%. So that's kind of what these numbers up here mean. This is ROI change effectively from the lineup you have to like a different one. So that's what that means. Jason said maybe you have to sort first in compact by ROI and then expand. I'm not sure. What I would do here in this case is if you see this, if you feel like something is wrong, feel like this is a bug, when you see it, please go to the top right corner, go to report a problem, and then just tell us what's happening. And then this will give us information about your session that we can pass on to our engineering team to look into this more. But that's what I'm seeing. Seems like you're seeing something different. I believe you. So please let us know about it, and then we can kind of take it from there. All right. Jesus said, appreciate it. No problem at all. All right. Someone said, is there any chance of a better rule system for NFL? So we are always taking suggestions. If you have a suggestion about a rule type or feature request or something that you are looking for, please email us, support@sabersim.com. Give us an example of what it is. And if you could, you know, describe how you would use it or how the functionality would be better, that's always helpful information as well, because that helps us understand what users are looking for and how we can take your idea and maybe even go further with it. So definitely always looking for feature requests. And you can also put those in the wish list channel in Discord. All right, now we are caught up. We're going to get out of here. Appreciate you guys and everybody who tunes into this show. Have a happy new year, and I will see you all in 2026. Take care. Thanks. Bye.